Now it's time for another wonderful tale from the one and only Eddie Lenihan, which means it is time for Shanachie Corner. Shanachie Corner sees Eddie, the renowned author, storyteller, lecturer and broadcaster, regaling us with a memorable story from his extensive collection of old Irish tales and fables. And this week, Eddie tells us a strange tale about a boy who served in the First World War.
This story is about a boy and his service in the First World War, a most tragic event, as everybody knows. You could say an event that changed a whole generation's lives. And Ireland didn't escape. They said that nearly a quarter of a million Irish young men joined the British Army, or in some cases, the American Army indirectly, or the Australian Army, or the New Zealand Armed Forces, but most directly the British Army. And so many of them ended up dead or crippled for life or traumatised when they came home. And all for what? Nothing. 100 years later, people look back on that most stupid of wars. And what many people don't realise today is that huge poster, "Your country needs you," and the man with the big moustache, Lord Kitchener, he was an Irishman. He was a Kerry man. How many people know that? Lord Kitchener was a Kerry man, Ballylongford. But the man I'll tell you about, small incident, but typical. There was a man from the Clare Galway border in Clare Galway, yes, and a young man, a labourer, and he was sick and tired of what he was at, slaving every day. And he wanted to see the world like so many young men do. But it was 1916, and the problem with 1916 was Flanders. And what would a young boy in Clare or Galway or any other country place in Ireland know about Flanders at that time? Nothing. And he decided, though, he wanted to see the world. So he joined up. There were plenty of barracks in every town and village in Ireland at that time, be the RIC or army barracks. How many army barracks was there here in Ennis? But anyway, he had no trouble in joining up. And they wanted men, recruits, because recruits were being mowed down in Flanders. So anyway, he joined up and off he went, after being trained. But there was one small problem. When he arrived and saw the mess that he was in, the trenches, he hadn't expected trenches. The only trenches he ever saw where he was coming from were drains. That was fine. There's a difference between a drain that you have to clear out with a spade and the trenches he saw in Flanders, which men were living in, and not just living in, but doing everything else in as well. They were up to their knees in muck and filth and dirt, and rats eating at them. And not just that, but rats as big as terrier dogs. And why wouldn't they be? Because they were well fed, I tell you, on bodies and on the best of food, and no cats to kill them. I tell you, look at some of the pictures today of those trenches and you'll say, how did men live in those conditions? And the poor boy, as soon as he saw this, what did he do? He wanted to go home. Innocent lad. Because, I tell you, if you go home when you're in the army, you won't go home. You'll be put up against an Irish wall and shot at dawn. So, luckily there was a sergeant major there who was a kindly man, and he gave the new recruits advice: keep down your head. That's the only advice he'll give you. Keep down your head. If you don't, you're a dead man. Because you see over there in the other trenches, there's fellas there, tough nails, that have been here for months and months, and if they have survived, they know the ropes, and if you put up your head, snipers, you'll have a bullet through your forehead, just like that. So by God, they took him at his word. Some of them. Sean, the boy's name. He quickly looked around him the first couple of days, and he saw some of his comrades who were a little bit curious, because young men, of course, they will be looking. They weren't looking for long before, down, dead. He learned his lesson quick, and he survived. But he could never get over the filth and dirt and the foot rot and the other kind of rot. And he wanted to go home. He wanted to go home. Whatever home was like, the poverty and the misery, by God, it wasn't anything like the poverty and the misery here. So he wasn't a stupid lad. And at last, a plan in his mind. There was only one way to get out of this. And one particular morning, what'd he do? Only put up his hand over the top of the trench, and immediately, bang! Bullet through the palm of his hand. Now, if it had been an inch or two further up, he judged it well, the bullet would have gone through his wrist and an artery. He could have bled to death. But it went through the palm of his hand, and of course he let a shriek out of him. And the sergeant major, what the F is wrong with that man? What? And he was dragged back to the dressing station. But of course, a man with one hand is no good. He can't fire a rifle. So, he was tucked back further behind the lines. Dressed up, but he had the shakes. Or at least pretended he had the shakes. No. And maybe he had. But he was sent back to England. And from there he was sent home. And the man that told me the story said that he got a pension. And afterwards, he turned out to be a good shot at fouling. At fouling. He was able to shoot afterwards, somewhere or another. He got back the use of the hand, well, halfway at least, and he was a mighty man to drink Guinness out of the pension. Not like some others of the misfortunes who were sent back. Or what about the ones that never came back, which were a lot of his friends from that same area. But he was intelligent. He had the wit to know that I don't belong in this place, and there's no future for me here. He turned into a useful citizen at home afterwards, at least for Arthur Guinness.